It's a great privilege to be here, and I acknowledge that we are on unceded country, and it is a great privilege for us to be here today, and thank you, Arnie Dyer, for your welcome today and our welcome to, the welcome to country. Vicky needed somebody to do this, and I am. I'm Vicky Roach, a UN woman with a master's degree in writing. And you could almost say a PhD in the long history of the Australian prison system. Some people say the criminal laws that are putting more and more Aboriginal women, men and children in prison are broken. But I say they're working exactly as they were designed and intended to work. I was removed from my mother when I was 2 years old and charged with neglect by way of destitution and made a ward of the state. As a child, I ran away from a foster parent several times and was taken into custody for running away. My removal from my mother was a product of the colonial system and its laws. My mother's removal was also a product of the colonial system and its laws. My grandmother's loss of her child was a product of the colonial system and its laws. My child's removal from me was a product of the colonial system and its laws. I don't think I'm different to other Aboriginal women in the criminal legal system. We are all unique in our own ways, but the way we are treated is the same. The criminalising and the targeting of me as an Aboriginal woman who uses drugs and needs to be punished, to be corrected and cured, is the reason I have spent years in coloniser prisons. People who use drugs and end up in prison, particularly women, are very likely to look like me, and like me, have multiple trauma stories as yet untold. I started using when I was 13, lived on the streets for a while there. I was probably the original street kid in the Cross. I was the one who used to sneak around at 4 in the morning and nick your bread and milk in your newspaper. For a really long time, it felt like we were just having fun. I knew everybody, everybody knew me, and I belonged. I was part of the fabric of the Cross. They were my people. The thing with using, there's a lot of problems, but it also gives you purpose and a community. When you look at it like everyone else, you got to go and make the money you need. It's a job. You have to work at it like it's an actual job. A dangerous and often dirty and disgusting job. Nothing like the teacher, doctor or animal trainer you thought you wanted to be when you were a kid. But it's a job you found yourself in and you need to do it to keep the demons at bay. My so-called crimes were acts of survival. Survival was having enough money to keep a roof over my head and not starve and support the drug habit that numbed me enough to be able to do the things I needed to do to survive. It starts with out-of-home care, being removed from our own families. It's like a pipeline, a funnel. The juvenile justice system governs the lives of wards of the state. I was in adult prison by 17. There's this underlying ideology throughout corrections, that we should suffer to be corrected. Aboriginal women in custody are treated with varying degrees of outright hostility, physical abuse and neglect. In my experience, racism is never more clearly defined than when you're sitting in police custody. Like if you're a wealthy white woman, you'll probably be looked at by a doctor straight away and get proper medical assistance and all that sort of thing. For a user off the street, they'd be treated far differently. Be lucky to see a doctor, lucky to get anything other than a Panadol. And then would have to wait for a nurse for hours to get that couple of Panadol. For an Aboriginal woman, she might be in the same boat, but probably wouldn't even get a bloody Panadol. Would only see the doctor, because the doctor's there for the white woman anyway. Actually, I said bloody, she didn't say bloody. As an Aboriginal woman going into custody in prison, you have to be through that stuff as a child as well, and it's an extension of the same. When you're in a kid's home, you kind of figure it out pretty quickly that your own body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to them. They can do what they like with you. They can do what they like to you. With strip searching, so many women just dissociate from their bodies, which is not easy for all women to do. For a lot of women, just being strip searched in itself will trigger more trauma. Even after they get dressed, they're still sort of shaking. And you know it's a traumatising experience. particularly in custody cells, because they're rough and they're rude and they're arrogant and they're personal. They make personal remarks about your body and shit like that. Like, it always reminded me of slaves on the market getting ready to be sold. And it could be done as meanly or as roughly or as perfunctorily as they felt like. You know, it just depends. I lost custody of my son in 1986. At the custody hearing, the family court was in the old Albion Street Children's Court, the same court where the same judge had sent me to a children's home. I was in the same building with the same judge who sent me to prison as a child and was now deciding I was to lose my own child. It took me 8 years of fighting in court to get my son back. I've been in nearly every rehab on the east coast of this country. The best drug rehab I ever had was actually for alcohol when I lost my job. I went on compo and they sent me into this private rehab. I couldn't believe it. They treated us like patients, not like inmates. And we actually saw the doctor once a day. We had all sorts of activities, art, music. Some were optional, some weren't. Very few were mandatory. An actual professor would come and talk to us about addiction and explain aspects of addiction to us. But even he even taught me things I didn't know. We could leave any time we wanted. The only thing was you didn't want to come back drunk. If you came back drunk, they wouldn't let you get in. I think it was $30,000 for 10 days. And it wasn't drug-free. They gave me drugs and controlled the withdrawal so well that I hardly even noticed it. That was the best treatment I ever had. Rich people treatment. All the other programs I've been in teach you that you're a bad person. You're weak, you're useless, you're hopeless. And you need to suffer more to learn your lesson or some shit. They're all about total abstinence and compliance. And they're also usually shitholes. The food's usually shit. And because everyone's withdrawing without medical support, they're not very pleasant places to be. A lot of people are like, fuck this, and just walk out. Then they call the police because you've broken your bail or whatever. The thing is, you can't force someone to stop using. It has to be their decision and their timetable. Our job is keeping them alive, treating their situation as a medical condition until they reach that point, and then to make sure quality care is available for them when they get there. There are a lot of barriers to get into treatment programs in my experience, waiting lists of 6 months or more to get into the few rehabs that remain, calling every day to see if there's been a cancellation. I've been through that process heaps. There's not enough beds and waiting times are too long. When someone decides they want to stop, they need the help then. Not to be told, just keep using until a bed comes up. Getting housing made a big difference for me. I got a job after I got housing. But you can't get started on anything. Your health, safety, well-being, nothing without a house, a home base. Without permanent, secure, affordable housing, not permanent, secure prisons. Without this housing, real housing, Aboriginal women become so enmeshed in the criminal justice system, they're in and out on a regular basis for the rest of their lives. Revolving door women also serve relatively short sentences. But even so, they lose everything they have on the outside, including all their personal possessions, clothes, photos and other sentimental mementos, accommodation and even their children. Have to start from scratch every single time, over and over again. And with mind-numbing consistency, have to maintain the fight to either keep or have their children return to them. My story is just the continuing story of all Aboriginal women during occupation, colonisation and genocide. We're in jail for breaking a white man's law. Men who have no right to be making laws on this land at all. Our law is first at law and should have always been the dominant law in this country. Terra Nullius effectively erased us so they can make their own laws and outlaw us. It's like we're refugees in our own country, on our own land, hunted by coppers and racists alike. And we remember how our ancestors must have felt as we lived through it. They say history is written by the victor. So be it. but let's make our story so big, so loud, and so proud, we can never be written out of history. Homes, not prisons! Homes, not prisons! Homes, not prisons! Homes, not prisons!
G'day, my name is Margie Thorpe. You are listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 on your dial.
I also just want to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land and pay my respects and acknowledge the Aboriginal elders of other communities who maintain the fight to achieve justice. Across Australia, we live on unceded land. Sovereignty has never been ceded. I work at the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service in the Wirriwai team. Wirriwai is a Wurundjeri word meaning challenge. We work with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who've experienced violence and harms of police and prisons, and the families of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who've died in custody. There is a crisis of Aboriginal deaths in custody in Victoria. There have been three Aboriginal people die in Victoria's prisons within the last 12 months. They were all dearly loved by their families and communities. Every day at Vals, we speak to other people in prison who are worried that they will be next. We've got clients who are children who are in adult prison who've witnessed these deaths and have said that it has made them feel like dying is normal in Victoria's prisons. In Victoria, the Aboriginal imprisonment rate has almost doubled in the last 10 years and about half of the prison population is on remand. This creates so much trauma. The obsession that Victorian politicians have with tough-on-crime politics destroys lives, families and communities. And Victoria spends billions of dollars on this system. Victoria spends $4 billion on Victoria Police annually, and this doesn't include the large amounts of one-off funding they're given for new weapons. Shame! Victoria Police employs more staff than any police force in Australia. Politicians are in bed with the police union, and there's absolutely no independent oversight or accountability. Victoria Police are a law unto themselves. And it is police who investigate police in this state. It is police who investigate deaths in custody and police who investigate their own wrongs. Even within the government, the Victorian Auditor General has launched a scathing report against the billions of dollars going to Victoria Police. Those billions of dollars which could be invested in public housing, on community health, education and legal services. Investing in communities makes communities safer. Investing in police and prisons does not make communities safer. For many communities, like the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities that Vals works for, building prisons and expanding Victoria Police makes them less safe. Decarceration, getting people out of prison, would free up so much money that could be invested in communities. A huge portion of Victoria's prison population is on remand after being denied bail. About half of the Aboriginal people in Victoria's prisons are on remand. Many of them are facing charges that would not receive a prison sentence if they were found guilty. At some points over the last year, 3/4 of Aboriginal women in prison were on remand. We have to fix Victoria's bail laws. We have to implement the recommendations of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody over 30 years ago. Vals is asking Victoria's politicians to commit to a zero prison population target this election. And we're talking about closing down prisons. We need to close Dame Phyllis Frost Centre, where Veronica Nelson and Miss Calgarrett died. We need to close Ravenhall, where Michael Suckling died. We need to close Port Phillip Prison, and we need to close Loddon Prison, where Clinton Austin died. And we also need to minimise the harm and trauma that prisons inflict on people while we're working towards decarceration. That's why Vals wants the government to fund Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations to deliver culturally safe healthcare in prisons. Victoria is the only state which has a fully privatised prison healthcare system. Currently, healthcare in prisons is contracted out to a private company, Correct Care Australasia, which is a subsidiary of a billion-dollar prison health conglomerate, WellPath. WellPath has been sued thousands of times in the US and have been found to cause deaths in custody and put profit over people. And these corporations are unaccountable and prioritise punishment and profit over people's lives. Victoria is allowing these private corporations to profit from state-sanctioned violence. Almost all of the deaths in custody cases that Vals works on relate to poor healthcare. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are more likely to have died because of lack of access to adequate healthcare than non-Indigenous people. And poor healthcare in prisons makes it harder for people to build a life after they've been released. On behalf of Vals, thank you for coming to this rally today and showing that Victorians want a government that invests in communities and not police and prisons.
No crime, no time. Fix Victoria's bail laws now.
Prisons are bursting at the seams with poor people. ISTJA Melbourne is calling on the Victorian government to release unsentenced people on remand from Victorian prisons. First Nations people are 3% of the population, yet represent 29% of the general prison population.
89% of First Nations women entering prison are unsentenced.
ISTJA Melbourne is asking you to sign the No Crime, No Time petition,
which can be found on ISTJA Melbourne's Facebook page.
Indigenous Social Justice Association Melbourne is a 3CR supporter.
Started looking in the mirror, faced my own demons. Had every right to be mad, I had my own reasons. But to take it out on family was a bad feeling. I just wanna pay back my mob with what I was gifted. I just wanna be a good mummy, build my babies a home. Put a crown on my mama and I'll build her a throne. You can't talk about my past cause them days dead and gone. And if you go and bring it up, you must have hate in your soul. And that's real, I just wanna bring it back for a minute. And thank my sister and my mama for my children. Cause I was trapped in addiction and in prison, but they gave me the tools so I could live a little different. Thank my matriarchy and thank my babies for me. I must be a good woman if I birth them seeds. And to be a better woman, I must follow my dreams and give back to everybody who done gave to me. It's a full circle, what goes around comes around. Yeah, I was lost at the start, but my soul got found. And I just wanna be here and make my whole family proud. Do everything in my power to make them all smile now.
Ha. The black is strong and powerful.
I'm believing it and I'ma do better. Good karma, yes, I'm receiving it. Made it all real cause I was sick and tired of dreaming it. And this life here's a gift, I'm gonna keep on succeeding it. I had to get it out the mud and make it better. Grab my babies by the hands and we gon' do this together. Got these tears in my eyes while I write them love letters. And I know I'm not perfect but I'm never gon' give up. I gotta plant them seeds and tell the truth how it is. I gotta stand up strong and be a mum to my kids. I gotta come back strong and go and face some fears. Cause I was sick and tired of hating on myself all them years. I am powerful and I don't even know the half of it. But I'm whole within my being and I am no longer masking it. Every time I fall I now look at the stars. Cause dreams are for real, I'll never lose that spark.
Ha. The black is strong and powerful.
Looking at the real monarch.